Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go on what has been a very big day for St. Louis, for the St. Louis Cardinals, for sports fans in the region, and for us here at KMOX as we welcome you in to a Graybar Sports Open Line. My name is Matt Pauly. Have you for the next 2 hours until 8 o'clock, and then even after that, at 8 o'clock, we're going to have the replay of the Gas House Gang from earlier today, which was more reaction from the Heim Bloom press conference. So very quickly, here's what's going on over the next 2 hours, because very, very busy. Tom Ackerman's going to join us in about 10 minutes. Our sports director here at KMOX want to get his perspective on everything that was said and done today regarding Heim Bloom. Later on this hour, we are going to start the John Rooney exclusive interview with Heim Bloom. There is one radio station in the market that got to talk to Heim Bloom one-on-one, and it is KMOX. So the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, had about a half-hour conversation with Heim Bloom. They talk about a ton of stuff, and we are going to start playing that for you. 6:35, 6:40, right in there. That will take us to the 7 o'clock news, and then coming back from the 7 o'clock news, we will continue. Great. You've heard a little bit of, if you've been with us here on KMOX today, played a bit of it during Dave Glover's show, played a bit of it during the Rush Hour, and now we're going to play the entire thing. So that's going to be coming up. As we continue on the 7 o'clock hour, I know there's a lot of people listening who have not heard everything that was said in the press conference today. We're going to go back through much of what was said, not everything, but much of what was said from Heim Bloom. And then we are going to wrap up the show with another conversation with Heim Bloom as he spoke with me for about 5 minutes, and I'll play for that for you. So just from a matter of like where we're at, you can certainly call or text 314-436-7900. Probably text would be better today, at least for now. You can send in messages if you're watching the video stream. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. We'll try to grab a comment here and there and discuss it. But today is more about the reaction, but today's more about the information, the raw kind of data, I guess you can say, listening in to what Heim Bloom had to say. This starts an entire off-season of conversation, and we've got Sports Open Line almost every night here moving forward, so we'll have time to talk through this. We'll have time to take your phone calls and your texts and tweets and future shows. Tomorrow we'll be on 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, so we'll get to that. Don't worry. This is something that we'll continue to talk through, because I am curious with the reaction. I feel like the fact that it was announced that Oliver Marmol's coming back, which, by the way, that was always going to happen. I laughed yesterday because we got a call yesterday that said at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, is Heim Bloom going to announce that Yadier Molina is the Cardinals' new manager? And my answer was no. And I got text messages yesterday, and I got tweets yesterday from people predicting that not only would Oliver Marmol not be back as the manager, that today was going to be the day where that announcement was going to be made. And that was never going to happen. Even if they would have decided to move on from Marmol, that wouldn't have been decided today. And they certainly wouldn't have had a new guy lined up. Like, that was kind of crazy talk, right? So, unfortunately, I think unfortunately for Heim, and this is why I have very, very, very purposefully set things up where we're going to hear a ton from Hein Bloom today, because that's the story. That's the story. What hijacked the story today was the announcement that Oliver Marmol is going to be back next year. To me, that's not a story. We knew that was going to happen. Anybody who watched and was paying attention to what was going on could tell you, absolutely, they were not going to make a managerial change this offseason. So I've seen, like, on our Facebook, and you know, you never read the comments on Facebook, right? On our Facebook, I have just seen the number one commented thing here today has been about the fact that Oliver Marmol's going to be back. And we know they're, for a certain percentage of the fan base, they don't like Oliver Marmol. Marmol is not the most popular person. I actually think his popularity has grown this year because I think people have started to see that it was a roster issue and not a managerial issue. And people have seen that Ollie got more out of this roster than you should have. So people have started to see that. But this today isn't about Oliver Marmol's going to be back next year. Today is about Hein Bloom as the Cardinals president of baseball operations. And he's in charge now. And he's going to be making up the roster. And he's going to have some tough decisions to make. And he's going to be bringing in, overseeing the infrastructure and all that. That's the story today. And it's an exciting story for the Cardinals. Because Bloom's a super smart dude. Bloom is somebody with a good track record. Unfairly, from a national standpoint, he gets connected to Mookie Betts getting traded in Boston. But I think if anybody who really knows what happens there is that was an owner meddling. And now we see right now with the Boston Red Sox, Hein Bloom is largely to credit with the fact that I can look up to my right now and see the Boston Red Sox playing a playoff game. He deserves a ton of the credit for what's going on. And my belief is that he was given more assurances that he was going to be able to see that thing through in Boston. And then you have a meddling owner that it didn't end up working out that way. And he was forced to trade Betts. And, oh yeah, by the way, you have to send Price along with him. So then that just tanks the value of Betts because Price has to be connected to him. That was an ownership issue. So you go look at what Boston has done since then. You go look at Tampa Bay. You go look at all these things. Hein Bloom has an amazing track record. And he's somebody, I don't know how long it's going to take. We're looking at Boston in the playoffs right now. Hein hasn't been there in a couple years. I think the Cardinals are probably a little bit ahead of where Boston was when he got there. And the fact that the Cardinals already have a top 10 minor league system just in 1 year of Hein overseeing it. So they're a little bit ahead, but that tells you that this is a project. This is a project, and he's all in on the project. And I think at the end of the day, the project is going to look pretty darn good. All right, so again, the exclusive interview, Hein Bloom with the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney. That's going to air in about 20 minutes. Before that, we will hear from KMOX Sports Director Tom Ackerman. He joins us in just a moment on a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX on Heim Bloom Day. Earlier today, he was officially introduced, as you heard here on KMOX. We've been pretty much nonstop Heim Bloom coverage throughout the day. It's been a really fun, good KMOX day. And anytime something big happens here in St. Louis and with the Cardinals, I think it's always good to get the perspective of our sports director here at KMOX, Tom Ackerman, who was part of the coverage this morning. It was a lot of fun being able to be on the air with him. And now he's going to join us for a few minutes here on Sports Open Line. Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's up, Matt? It has been Heim time. Like, Heimapalooza today. We've just been going nuts over this story, and rightfully so. I mean, it is a big day in Cardinals history, without a doubt.
Yeah, you've covered this team. You've been around this team for really the vast majority of your life when you think about your time here at KMOX. As you listen to what was said today and know the history of the Cardinals organization and know the expectations that Cardinals fans have for this team, what strikes you as Heim tries to get this team back on the right path and back to being a team that can legitimately win the World Series?
Well, I absolutely thought of it from a fan's perspective. And I think I try to do that often when it comes to the Cardinals, try to understand this fan base. I grew up one. As did you, you know, growing up in this town and understanding its place in St. Louis, but also what is talked about, what people want out of the team. And they want to be entertained. They want to win. And you could say all you want about Cardinals fans. People will call them spoiled, or they'll say that, you know, it was easy to be a Cardinals fan when they were winning. Cardinals fans who go back to the 60s, and there are a lot of them listening to us in our audience right now, have been through a lot of different ups and downs. The 60s were great. The 70s were not. The 80s were a resurgence. The 90s were not until Tony La Russa came around in 96. I should say Bill DeWitt in 95 and Walt Jocketty. And that's kind of when I started, 97, in Tony's second year. And since then, with the exception of a few years here and there, we have had incredible success in this town and a lot of championships. But over the last decade, they have not been back to the World Series, and they have slowly bowed out of making themselves into a serious contender. They've made the playoffs, but they haven't made a run to the NLCS since 2019 when they got swept. We all know the history. So I listened to Heim today from a fan's perspective, and he hit all the right notes. He said all the right things early, talking about the Cardinals' history. In fact, when he gave out his thank yous to start, he thanked the fans. It was a way of saying, I've been watching you. I've been paying attention. I know this is not easy, but thank you for your loyalty. He knows they're out there. Now it's a matter of explaining to them, and this is the important point, Matt, is he needs to be, and he is, the voice of the team. He is going to be the face of the team. They do not have one. They don't. I mean, Ollie Marmol, we'll get into that in just a minute. I'm still amazed how many people still want Ollie out of there. But anyway, Ollie's not the face. Arenado certainly isn't the face. None of the pitchers are. None of the players are. The face of the team's Heim Bloom until they have star power coming back to this team. So he is going to be in charge of conveying the message clearly and concisely. And I think that he is actually very smart, but he's also a very confident speaker. And that's an important point here. So he did that very well. But Cardinals fans are too smart. So they're going to listen to all of that. They're going to listen closely. And they're going to say, that's great. But we are all about, this is the show me state, bud. You're going to have to show us what's going on. We want action. And you're going to have to deliver it over the next few years. And at the same time, describe along the way what you are doing. So far, I think Heim, in that address, in spending what I understand was nearly an hour with local writers today, in spending a few minutes with you, and spending a few minutes with me, and spending a few minutes with TV, and then a long portion with John Rooney, not to mention our TV broadcasters, Chip and Brad, he spent a lot of time today conveying that message. So that was impressive to me. I think it's a really good start.
Again, we'll have the John Rooney interview in about 15 minutes here on KMOX, so you definitely want to be tuned in for that. I'm a little bit bummed, Tom, that we all knew, like anybody who's really watching this, knew that Oliver Marmol was going to be back next year. I know that when that's confirmed, the tweets have to be sent out and everything, but my goodness, you look at the fan reaction to this. unfortunately, well, it's a really cool day for the Cardinals in the announcement of, you know, the introduction of Chaim Bloom and just being able to listen in to all the cool new stuff that's going to be happening moving forward. That's kind of been hijacked by a group of fans that are, you know, expressing the fact that they're not happy about Marmol coming back.
Yes, it was just pointed out to me that Instagram, our Camo X Sports Instagram, is filled with comments of negativity. That doesn't surprise me. I think that our Twitter account has had some of that as well. I'm not typically on Instagram as much anymore, nor am I on Facebook as much. I'll do occasionally get sent a link to it. I'm heavily on Twitter/X, so I kind of follow comments in that way. Our YouTube commentary today on the Gas House Gang was split. There was some negativity, and there were others who just sort of understood that that was going to be the case. You know, I'm a little surprised, but not totally. And as mentioned,
sorry, I was switching off my Bluetooth. You know how that goes, right, Matt?
Yeah, you're still there.
I want to make sure I'm a little clear. And make sure that I hammer this home. The manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, the head coach of the Fighting Irish, the head coach at Kentucky basketball, you know, these are high-profile jobs where that person is out front. They're the one that is seen the most, and therefore they're the ones that take the most when it comes to criticism. And Ollie has taken that. For whether it's right or wrong, it's just the way that it is. And until the team starts to win, fans are going to point their anger at the person that they see the most. And now that John Mozeliak is gone, they turn their attention to Ollie Marmol. It's not fair. I totally agree with that. But it's just the way that it is. Tony La Russa took heat since I've been covering this team, maybe more than all of them combined. And he's the one who won two world championships. Yeah. Mike Matheny, Mike Shildon, now Ollie Marmol. But the more concerning thing to me is the messaging. Like, how in the world did people not follow? I'm not assuming that every single person in the world is listening to Camel X or following the Gas House Gang. But how did you follow this whole season and not know that he was coming back? I mean, how many times have we said it? I don't know how people could have, and I don't know where the rumor starts that they're going to hire Yachty or that they're going to hire, you know, somebody else, Joe Maddon. I don't understand sometimes how these things get out there, although in the world that we're in right now, you can get information anywhere and think that it's credible or real. The reality was always that Ollie was coming back. We said it a million times. You could hear it in his voice. He talked about visiting with Chaim. I mean, I don't know what other information you want. I'm not saying that he's the greatest manager in baseball. I'm saying that for this moment right now, it was very clear that Chaim and Ollie were getting along and that he was the best fit for this current movement, which is a rebuild. I mean, you can just say what it is, that they felt like he was the right man for that job at this time.
Tom, great stuff. I know it's been a long day for you. You started first thing this morning with the morning show, and then we had 3 hours of coverage from the ballpark today, which was awesome. I really enjoyed that. Got to get on the radio with you more often, but thanks for finding a few minutes with us tonight here on Sports Open Line.
Well, buddy, you did a great job today. I always appreciate your coverage, and I'll be listening tonight, and then I'll invite people tomorrow morning on their way to work. If they want to hear a little bit more, we will have it.
Awesome.
No doubt. And you know, it just begins. The off season is underway, and it's a very important one.
Yeah.
Thanks, bud.
You bet. Thank you. That's Tom Ackerman joining us here on the program, KMOX Sports Director. We are less than 15 minutes away from the exclusive John Rooney conversation with Chaim Bloom, the only extensive radio interview you are going to hear with Chaim Bloom in St. Louis. It's with the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney. It's coming up in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. We're continuing on with the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We're going to have a pretty quick segment right here, and then stick with us because in our next segment, That's when we start for you the exclusive conversation between the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, and the new president of baseball operations for the St. Louis Cardinals, Chaim Bloom. This is the first radio interview that Bloom did. You're not going to hear him on any other station, and you'll be able to hear him right here. So it's about a half-hour conversation. We'll take some of it up until the 7 o'clock news, and then we'll continue on with it after the 7 o'clock news. So you do not want to go anywhere. That's coming up in just a few moments. A few text messages that have come in, some good questions. Text message from the 314 says, why are people continuing to talk about the Tampa Bay Rays? They never won a World Series. It's proven that their philosophy does not work for a championship. I would actually agree with that. Now, they've had a deep playoff run, but you're right. They've never won a championship. I think this is going to be the difference. And when Bloom was asked today, and we'll play some of the press conference audio next hour, when Bloom was asked about that, he said, you know, you can't just go try to do what the Rays did. So the difference is going to be that the Rays draft and develop high-end talent, and then they trade them away. The goal is going to be more like kind of the Atlanta model for the Cardinals, where they do draft and develop those high-end players like the Rays did, but then they've got the financial ability to lock guys in for the long term. So that's the difference. So I think when we compare them to the Rays, it's more about developing the players. It's not about the finished product, because to the Texters' credit, yeah, they have not won a championship. You have to keep, if the Rays were able to hold on to a lot more of their players, they likely would have won a World Series at some point. They just don't have the financial ability to do that. The Cardinals do. Text message from 618 says, I'm pretty sure some of the negative feelings against Ollie are based on the way Mike Schilt was let go. I think it was assumed that Marmol would be a yes man for the organization. I think that's right. I don't think he is a yes man for the organization, but I think he goes about his differences in a different way than Schilt did, and probably learned something from that situation. I actually think those two are probably pretty like-minded on a whole bunch of things. Message comes in, says, this is actually an interesting question, says, it's not that I don't like Ollie. I don't blame most of the problems on him. It's the roster, but no playoffs in 3 years and two losing seasons in 3 years. Why not fire Ollie? Look at some of the other teams that have fired their managers in similar situations. If this is true, a fresh start they may need. A manager may be Albert or Yachty to help put butts in the seats. If you are a president of baseball operations and you are firing a manager because of public press, like, honestly, so today Chaim Bloom said something along the lines of, we need to be, we'll play it later, but essentially we need to be bold and we need to believe in what we believe and do it, even if it's not what the rest of, you know, believe in what you think is right. The easiest thing to do for the Cardinals would be fire Oliver Marmol. It would placate a lot of fans. It would give more of that fresh start feeling. And yeah, but they believe in him, and I think rightfully so. And if you're making a managerial change just because you want more people to be sitting in the seats at the ballpark, that shouldn't be the motivation. The motivation of a president of baseball operations is to have people in place that are going to help you win as many games as possible. And they believe that that is Oliver Marmol, or at the very least, they believe that as they continue to go through this rebuild and having young teams that are maybe not competing at the highest level, that Ollie's the right guy. And we'll continue to monitor this as you go along. Okay, so text message from 314 says, I hate this. I know you guys are rights holders of the Cardinals, so you have to say nice or good things, but Chaim Bloom's word vomit sounds the same as Mo last year. Yes, I know he wasn't going to say anything, so I don't know why either side would want a press conference to waste both sides' time and effort. We're rights holders, but I'm critical of the team when I need to be critical of the team, and I've never been pushed in any other direction. And I think if you were really listening, what Bloom talked about today is different, and this is going to look very different. John Mozeliak and Chaim Bloom have very different baseball philosophies. And if you took away today that, oh, this is just more of the same, this sounds like something that would come out of Mo's mouth, well, then you weren't listening. You had a bias going into it, and it didn't really matter what was said because it's different. It is going to be different moving forward. And sometimes different is better. Sometimes different is worse. I think different is better in this situation. But the Cardinals needed a new voice. Cardinals needed a new voice for sure. You are going to hear the voice of Hein Bloom, an exclusive radio conversation with the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney. That's on the way next. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. We are with you for a little bit more than an hour more as we'll take you until 8 o'clock this evening. And you're going to hear a whole lot of Hein Bloom between now and 8 o'clock. And let's start with something that's very cool. The voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, doing the first long-form radio interview with Hein Bloom as the president of baseball operations for the club. We're going to get right into it. We'll play a little bit of it. We'll stop for the 7 o'clock news, and then we will continue on with this conversation just after the 7 o'clock news. So go ahead and sit down. You're going to enjoy this, I think. So I'll hand things off to the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, and as he opened up the conversation with Hein Bloom, Bloom made it very clear that he's excited for this day, excited for the opportunity, excited to move into the role as the president of baseball operations for the Cardinals.
Feels great. I'm excited to be here. I was just saying on my way here, I've walked past this room dozens of times now, but I've never actually been in it. So appreciate you having me. Excited to get going in this role. Obviously, in some ways, it feels like a continuation because I've been in the organization now for a couple years, and it's really good to have a lot of relationships already in place, but I'm excited to get to work.
Before we talk about those 2 years, tell us, how did a young man from Philadelphia become interested in baseball? You had so many different avenues you could have gone from your educational background. You did some writing before you joined a team as an intern and your work with the Rays. But how did you get interested in the game to begin with?
I loved it from a young age. Just fell in love with the game. I also have, to put it mildly, not very much athletic ability. So it was pretty clear that I was not going to be able to play the game at a high level. Little League was about as far as that went. So if I was going to be involved in the game, which over time I just became, you know, I increasingly wanted to do, if I was going to get involved, I was going to have to find another way in. And then, you know, when I was in high school and especially early on in college, I just decided to give this a go. I had learned more about the front office side of the game. This was a point in time when pathways into front offices were just starting to really open up for people with backgrounds like mine. So I decided to try and scratch and claw and see if I could hustle my way in and then impress some people and build a career out of it. And I was really, really fortunate to get some opportunities that allowed me to do that.
From what I hear, you've always been fascinated by history, not just baseball history, but that seems to capture your interest. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I did. I majored in Latin when I was in college. So you want to talk about history, that goes way back. That's one of the things that I really was interested in when I started to get interested in the game. The game has just such an incredible history. It's one of the cool things about being in this organization, for sure. And I actually think as I started to, you know, make my passion my career, obviously there's a lot of things you can learn about the history of the game that may not be relevant to the things you're doing on a daily basis. But you also realize as you get into the game's history that, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. A lot of things that we think might be new in this cyclical business are not. And there's definitely some things we can learn and some principles that we can take that are really lasting And, you know, that's one of the things that I've come to believe about what I do for a living and, you know, what it means to build an organization is that your methods always have to be changing, but your principles, your values, those things are timeless.
From your time with San Diego and then you hook on with the Tampa Bay Rays, what did you think of the Cardinal organization at that point? How did you see the Cardinals looking from the outside?
Well, just like the rest of baseball, I saw the Cardinals win a whole heck of a lot during that time. And I saw the Cardinals win with homegrown players. And really, one of the things that stood out, I alluded to it today when I was speaking from the podium. The Cardinals in that era were really changing the way that people in the game thought about using information to help in the draft and using information to make major league acquisitions. And a lot of people who, in many cases, who are still here were a big part of that. And it was just the latest example for me of how the Cardinals just found ways to get out front. They found ways to beat the industry to things that could help you win. That's always been part of the legacy here. And it always has been an organization that stood out for just the tremendous history and the tradition of winning. But, you know, when I was starting my career, you saw the Cardinals doing some things and finding competitive edges that other teams weren't finding. And I think that's always been a huge part of the organization's success.
I found something very interesting in the press conference, though. You were talking about the Rays and how they developed their model. And you looked at the Cardinals and other organizations. But you also said that it has to deal with what you're doing in the moment, because what works for the Rays in one respect may not work in Boston or in St. Louis. If you could explain that.
Yeah, you just have to be yourself. You are always going to be best by being the best version of who you are. That's different for every organization. And I think one of the things that's essential, especially when you join a new organization, is to figure out what makes that organization unique, whether it's something bigger in the identity of the organization or whether it's something maybe smaller that you might not know until you get within the walls and get curious enough to find out what's working. What do we do really well? That's going to be different in every place. And just figuring out, just like you would for a player, every player who walks in the door is going to be a little different. And so much of what we try to do is help those players figure out who they are, find their superpowers, and try to accentuate those. And I think it's the same for organizations.
You've had 2 years with the Cardinals evaluating what's going on in development. What have you learned out of those 2 years?
You know, it's been a really interesting time and honestly really satisfying in a lot of ways, because I got to do that at ground level in 2024 when I was, you know, essentially, you know, functionally, I was pretty much a consultant. But the exciting thing for me, the way that I was able to do that work was really to try to, you know, get in the trenches with our people. And over the course of that year, I sat with dozens of Cardinal employees and just really tried to see the world through their eyes. And when you do that, you really understand that your people see things that you may not see from above. And I was able to combine some of my own thoughts, my own observations, things that I've learned in different places I've been, different experiences that I've had, and combine those with the experiences of our people on the ground. And that really helped me with the roadmap for what we've done this year with our new leadership and player development, how we've set things up to unify player development and performance and make sure everybody's pushing in the same direction towards the goals that we have. So being able to have those experiences to chart that roadmap and then take the first steps on that roadmap has been really cool. And look, when you're trying to make positive change, there are going to be peaks and valleys. It's going to be uncomfortable. It should be uncomfortable. If we stay within our comfort zone, we will never be as good as we need to be. And that was one of the things that for me was an emphasis of making sure, whether it was your first day here, or you've been in this organization for 30 years, that you were okay with being a little uncomfortable. And that's how we get to something that's going to be better than what any of us could do individually.
Hein Bloom is in day one of his new baseball career here as the president of baseball operations and joining us on KMOX and the Cardinals radio network and talking a little bit about history, the Cardinal history with Whitey Herzog and with George Kissel. And what have you been able to take in from all of that and maybe take a few things as you go forward with what you're trying to implement now in your job?
Yeah, well, you know, again, I think these guys just they weren't afraid to do the things that they thought were right. Even if they were different, they weren't afraid to take the right kind of chances. And they were looking to build something great, and they were ambitious in what they were trying to accomplish. You know, the more that you look at what these guys did, it was really just, again, they were winners. They were trying to help win, and they were trying to break that down to its most basic building blocks and say, what can we do with players? What can we do with team building? What can we do with our day-to-day prep that's going to enable us to win the most? And when that's your guidepost, you know, you always have a chance to do something good.
I spoke with you about this time last year, and I was fascinated by your answer to this question. How important is winning at the minor league level, as you had a winner last year at Class A down at Palm Beach and a winner this year at Double A? And I'm told there are four or five really good major league prospects out of that Double A team. But how important is winning?
Well, that's why we do this. We do this to win. Now, all that being said, I think we want to get there the right way in the minor leagues. We want to get there through good development. I think one of the messages that we gave our staff this year, because there's that sort of debate, that age-old debate in the minor leagues, you know, what's more important, winning or development? And I think in some ways, I actually think it's a little bit of a false premise. Like I kind of reject that question. Yeah, sure, there are going to be times when a manager might hold back from making a move that he might make if it were a big league game, where because you want to give a prospect a chance, even if strategically that might not be the best thing for winning the game. But really, those things I think are more on the margins. I think the big thing that gets missed in this debate, and you know, I actually had the opportunity to have some good conversation with some of our people and emphasize this. We should always, when it's 7 o'clock, those lights go on, we should always care about winning. The thing that I think we need to really focus on in the minor leagues, and frankly in the major leagues too, but this was where we wanted to shift our focus in the minor leagues, is if you're a minor league manager, we shouldn't judge you primarily on your wins and losses at 7 o'clock, because you don't control who's on your roster. You don't necessarily control how those kids play. They're all developing. They're all going to make mistakes. But how are you winning between 1 and 6? How are you creating an environment every day that's going to allow all those players to advance towards the goals that they need to hit in order to be big leaguers? How are you creating an environment that's going to teach these kids how to play the game the way they need to play? How are you creating winning habits in these players? And if we win 1 to 6, 7 o'clock is going to take care of itself. And we're going to build the types of players who are ultimately going to be winning players that are going to be able to win up here. And so it's really not so much about winning versus development. It's about winning at development. It's about looking at all of that through the lens of, you know, we need to do this better than anybody else. If you're a minor league manager, you're not just competing with the opposition. You're competing against the 29 other people that have your job and waking up every day trying to kick their butts. And that's how I view my job. That's how, you know, I've encouraged our whole staff to think about their jobs that way. For most of us, there's 29 other people that get to do what we do. And we got to outcompete them every day. There's no scoreboard. You'll never know if you did it. But if we have that mindset day after day, we're going to go places.
In your time with John Mozeliak over the last couple of years leading up to today, and how you'll shape the roster and shape everything going into spring training in Jupiter, what do you see out of the group that took part in the 2025 season?
Our group at the big league level.
Big league level.
Yeah. You know, we have a lot of talent here. You know, I said it from the podium. We know we need more, but there is a lot of good talent on hand. I'm impressed by how this group goes about its business. I think some of that is a reflection on our staff and just the attitude that they take to this, the togetherness that they have and the care they have for our players. We definitely have a group that certainly in a lot of cases, these guys, I think their best days are ahead of them. We saw some really good things from some guys, and we saw some guys who kind of struggled to get out of neutral and really more just showed flashes. So I think the question for us as we go into the offseason, outside of any decisions that we need to make on them or make on the roster, is how do we take these guys that showed us flashes of potential of what they could be and try to help them build their offseasons in ways that allows that to be more the norm? So much of being a good big leaguer is consistency. You know, I've always thought that if you go into a Double A clubhouse or a Triple A clubhouse and you look around, pretty much everyone in those clubhouses on their best day is good enough to be in the big leagues. The difference is that the guys that get here and stay here perform at that level 8 or 9 days out of 10. And a lot of the guys that don't get there will only show that to you once or twice. So the question is, with these guys in the big leagues who have shown it to us, but not necessarily shown it to us every day, how can we get them training and routines that's going to enable them to hit their top end more consistently?
Mike Claiborne mentioned to me he was down by the dugout Friday, the last Friday of the season in Chicago, a game where the Cubs scored 12 runs. But he said Ollie, the other coaches, kept teaching. They kept coaching. They kept going through moments in the game, bringing up things to each player that they spoke with, and they did not give up. There was no mailing it in all the way through. And that's something I observed from up there in the booth. Everybody worked hard. Everybody got into the batter's box looking to give a good at-bat each time they were in there. How did you see it?
Yeah, I see it the same way. I mean, look, there's plenty of things at all levels of this organization that I've tried to observe where I think there's room for us to take steps forward, areas that I want to push people, areas where I think I can help. Work ethic and care, not an issue. We have that in spades. You know, everybody really does not give up. They push. You know, they work till the last out, till the last game. That part is really, really impressive. I think, you know, I'm actually really happy about that, that I don't think there's people in here that I need to light a fire under or any of that. I think it's more about how do I help harness that, build systems around it so that we can be more purposeful, more organized, create more accountability around how we're doing these things and how that effort is manifesting. But man, we got a group of people here who really care about what they're doing. They take pride in this. They see getting to wear that uniform every day as the privilege that it is, and they don't take that lightly.
You are listening to an exclusive conversation between the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, and new Cardinals president of baseball operations, Chaim Bloom. We are going to take a break for our 7 o'clock news, and then we're going to jump right back into this conversation right after the 7 o'clock news. And the next thing that you're going to hear Chaim Bloom talk about is his thought on the coaching staff, his thought on manager Oliver Marmol, and where they all stand going into the first year of the Chaim Bloom era of Cardinals baseball in terms of him being the president of baseball operations. So we'll continue with that conversation after the 7 o'clock news right here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.